Welcome to the CCM Live with Marcus podcast. To watch encore video broadcast and keep up with what's new in Christian music, visit ccmmagazine.com. And now, today's episode, here's Marcus.
How's it going, everyone? It's Tuesday. Welcome to CCM Live. It's so good to see you. My name is Marcus. I'm your humble host, back for another week. I apologize in advance. I've become a bass today. The cold has got me. Kids share everything. It's a wonderful thing. And so it's just going to be, you know, raspy time. Hey, good to see you guys. I'm so glad you're here. Please say hello. Post stuff in the comments. I'm watching them. And, you know, my buddy Todd, who's a pastor at my church, is blowing up the feed right now. And it's great. See, we get to put your comments up just like this. So please feel free to post them. Ask questions of our guests today. This is a program where we interact with you. We interact with artists making Christian music, and we have a good time. And it's, you know, like, I know kind of where we're going, but when you guys throw stuff into the mix, it makes it all your own. So anyway, this is the twice weekly show of CCM Magazine that we do live. And unless you're listening to this, say, on our podcast on Apple Music, or if you are checking this out on YouTube or at ccmmagazine.com, you just click that Live with Marcus tab. That's where you can find all the archives of what we've been doing. This is like episode 63 or something like that. So there's a lot to choose from. I want to, look, my mom right there. Hi, it's me. There's my mom. Hey, if you guys watching right now, of course, one of the best ways to get this thing rolling is to hit that share button, comment in the field there, tag somebody, and bring people to the party. It's going to be fun. I am super excited about my guest today, and this is a bro that I've been watching for a long time, and of course, many of you know this guy from the City Harmonic. He was it was that Canadian worship group that had that song Benediction and The Wedding. And man, like, I remember meeting this guy when we were I worked at New Release Today, and we were handing out, I forgot what it was for. I think we were looking for people that had like a temporary tattoo on their, you know, shoulders or face or something like that. And they were so good. Like, this band that's just blowing up, and they were humble enough to go walking around the festival grounds and help us hand out money and stuff. That's a weird thing. Even as I'm saying it right now, that just sounds weird. But you know what? He's awesome, and he's back with his own solo project. His first solo album is called The Work, Volume 1, continuing his passion for the church and worship music. It is Elias Dummer. How is it going, my friend? Good to see you.
Dude, good to see you, man. How are you?
Good. Do you remember that? Like, walking around, yeah, with creation, yeah,
I think we were handing out $5 bills.
Yeah. I mean, like, man, that's a good deal. Like, yeah, I'm thinking, where was that when we were at festivals? Like,
yeah, nope. I tell you, nobody ever just walked up to me and handed me $5.
No, it's awesome. Well, man, you know, the way we start this off is everybody comes from a very different environment, like, yeah, on camera. Where are you right now? This is your studio?
This is my studio. Yeah, this is actually the same room where I tracked a lot of what's on the work, funny enough. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, so one of the things we ask is find something in your immediate vicinity that will tell us a little bit more about you.
In my immediate vicinity. Okay.
Yeah. Nearby.
I started to do – well, I've always really been into art. My mom's an artist. My aunt is a really successful painter up in Canada.
Oh, wow. So cool.
I have these little 6x6s of like engraved drawings that I do.
Oh, and yeah. It's like
killer thing. And so I just was doing that not too long ago. It's just kind of like I have this habit of professionalizing my hobbies. And so
yeah,
this was my this was my way of doing something that isn't my job and have a lot of fun with it. So
that's a pretty great quote, actually. I have a habit of professionalizing my hobbies. I just grabbed the first thing that was near me, and it's a multiplication
yes,
little thing.
Awesome.
You know, you push the button, you see the answer.
That'd be helpful.
Yeah, it's through nines though. So
oh, good.
After okay. You know, once you get to tens and twelves and stuff, you're on your own.
But thankfully, in music, we don't have to multiply past nine very.
That's
often.
Right, man. That's why art is beautiful. Get away from yeah. Well, man, tell me, Eli, what you know, for those catching up, obviously this is your first solo album.
Yes.
The City Harmonic, you know, wrapped up a few years back. What happened next? What has life been like since then?
So, So really in the 30-second version of City Harmonic, we came out of a movement of small churches working together. And then obviously none of us, we were in Canada where the whole situation is a bit different than it is here. And we just had no idea what anything was. And so when things blew up here, we suddenly found ourselves traveling all over the place. And, you know, anyway, so skip ahead like 8 years. And we find ourselves kind of going, you know, we really want to be working in local churches. Eric had decided to leave the band to plant a church. And Josh and Aaron and myself all wanted to be more involved in our churches. I had helped to plant a church here in Nashville back in 2016. And so, yeah, when we sort of hung up the towel, so to speak, in 2017 and put out Benediction Live, I was already at that point working in training worship leaders here in Nashville at a little Methodist church south of town. And the church has grown pretty quick. I mean, we went from 40 people in a living room in 2015 to just about 600 a week and, you know, somewhere around 1,000 people. I don't know. Total, but it's been pretty cool, you know, to just be trying different things with that and writing out of kind of what we have been. Oh, from Canada. Yes. Canada.
Represent.
Yeah, that's right. But
do you know her?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, like all Canadians know each other. Do you know
it's
her?
It's great. What's funny about that question when it comes to Canada is it's like, I think possibly the biggest, if not the second biggest landmass in the world. With a pretty tiny population. So it's just like, statistically, it's actually more likely that Americans know each other.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, percentage-wise, as long as you're well-traveled.
Yeah, exactly. In terms of Kevin Bacon's, it's way tighter in here. In the States.
That's right. Nice.
But yeah, so we planted a church, and that's been going really, really well. And, you know, kind of secretly working away on songs for the last 2 years. Well, I really wrestled through a lot of, I mean, breaking up a band is not something that, you know, we parted ways very amicably. Like there's not the sort of cliche front man leaves the band to pursue a solo career. It's actually Josh who told me to do the solo thing. We had decided to part ways really separate of that. The two kind of weren't connected. It just so happened that I kept writing songs and really continued to feel compelled and called to record them and share them. So that's what I'm doing.
So, I mean, so work-wise, were you like on staff at this church or was it just,
So I'm part-time at the church. I actually own a marketing agency as well. And so that's a big part of kind of how I make my living. And in my case has been a little bit intentional in wanting to not be like financially dependent on art in every way. And it's actually not even about the ups and downs of art. It was more that there were times, whether it was with City Harmonic or just my personality, and whether this is a weakness or what, I don't know, but where stress or pressure or label relationships or money or whatever those things would just cause me to either choke the thing in terms of wanting it to be something it's not, or like have a tinge of desperation rather than vision and hunger. And I hate that. And so I really like as an artist, the idea that I can, at least at this point in my life, I'm able to make art that matters and, or at least to me and hopefully to somebody out there and not be, you know, worried as much about some of I care about business stuff, but not really like, I just don't want to focus on that at all.
Well, you get to create your art from a place of hopefulness, love, all the good things rather than fear.
Totally.
And,
yeah.
You know, I mean, frustration.
Exactly. And that's a lot of what the record's about, actually. I mean, for me, I think of worship and discipleship as one and the same. You know, it's probably maybe the most important thing we do as disciples of Jesus, if not one of the most important, at the very least. So it's kind of, imagine if you had to think about discipleship from the standpoint of a CEO or a board member. It gets a bit weird.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
So if you think about it that way, for me, it's easier to really kind of bucket things and think when it comes to writing worship songs, I'm really trying to think about this with a pastor's heart and as a disciple of Jesus who wants to disciple people to the best of my ability. A lot of that time set, obviously that's in close relationship. And sometimes it looks like sharing a song with the world and hoping it matters to somebody.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. You had mentioned, you intentionally are not becoming dependent on your art. What's also cool is you're not financially dependent on the church either. Like,
that's right.
You know, because as someone who has been a full-time professional Christian, I know that can get weird too.
Yeah.
To where, your paycheck is directly tied to your discipleship or your, mm-hmm. your faith and things can get weird. Not to say that full-time ministers are.
Yeah. I was going to say a lot of folks on our church staff are full-time and they're really better at it. I just think it's probably more, it says more about my weird personality than it does about the role. Yep. I wasn't as good at coping with that without letting fear creep into what I was doing. And so this has been to know that my, work, and admittedly, like sometimes it's a bit crazy, but on the whole, I find I'm much less afraid in general over the last few years as I've just taken intentional steps to make that less of a factor in my life and in my faith.
Yeah. So then now with this freedom sort of, approaching this completely differently, mm-hmm. how does the music look now? How does it feel to you? How does going about it at this point feel compared to maybe, when you were, it was a little bit, there was a little different pressures going on.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's this, I'd say what I'm doing now is probably closer to what we were doing at the beginning of the City Harmonic. That's not to say that we ever, I don't think we ever wavered in terms of sincerity. It's just, there's something to being in the bubble versus being out there and having all kinds of other voices involved. So I'm independent now, which is, was true of the EP. We sold the EP to the label. And I Have a Dream, we actually recorded our first LP. Well, people may not know this. We recorded our first LP before we started touring.
Yeah.
So the first two records we recorded before really playing any shows.
Crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. And so it's sort of been like that a little bit. Obviously I'm 10 years into having traveled around a bunch, but this record for me feels not less grandiose, just less kind of, I don't know, a little bit more close to home, I guess.
Yeah.
Less about, it's not less about theological concepts necessarily, but just more, me wrestling with things rather than necessarily always shooting for lofty ideas.
Yeah. I mean, freedom, right? I mean, the freedom to just be able to put something out there and see what happens rather than going, this has to work.
Yeah, totally. Exactly. Yeah. There's none of that kind of, it's got to happen thing. I mean, I'd love it to, but
sure.
For me, absolutely. Really, I'm a writer at heart. I'm a word geek and I spend a lot of time, deliberating over lyrics, and I'll often try to sneak in double and triple meanings to things that sometimes people notice and sometimes they don't, but I don't really care. And that sort of stuff is really, I love it. And so it's been fun to just do that. I mean, it took a long time to make the record, partly because I was like, oh, this couplet doesn't have a double meaning yet. So I need to.
Oh, that's great though. That intentionality. So then you've got, you've been writing songs. You've never really stopped writing songs.
Yeah.
But does it feel sort of like you're starting over in a sense, or does it just not even remotely, I don't know, feel like it's even in the same vein as what you've done?
Yeah, it's not, I mean, it's not worlds apart in that I wrote the majority of what we sang as the City Harmonic.
Right.
I sang all the songs and was pretty involved on production for our entire career. So it would be naive for me to say that I've completely left it behind, because I don't know that I could. Yeah. I was pretty close to it in the first place. But it's different. It's for sure different. I sometimes liken it to, maybe I'm really close-minded, but like when U2 makes a record and it's not just the Joshua Tree again, I'm kind of mad about it. I'm like, come on, guys, just give me another Joshua Tree. That's all I
do
want.
Do what you do.
Just do what you do. And the same thing, Coldplay. Yep. I loved Coldplay for years. And the further they got away from Rush of Blood to the Head, I was like, guys, no. No, you're doing it wrong. And I mean, they're clearly not doing it wrong. But like,
yeah, right,
in my mind, I had a way more narrow idea of what I wanted from a band. But like, I never did that to Sting. I never did that to like any singer songwriter. I kind of let like Beck. I love Beck. I let him do whatever he wants. And so it's like there's this kind of dynamic of like a person being me giving them more, I don't know, leeway to explore things. Yeah. And so that's been fun. And on this record, I definitely tried some things that we would not have done as City Harmonic. I mean, there's like an Afro-Cuban thing.
I heard that. Yeah. I was hearing the drums. I'm like, hey, that's yeah. different. I
seriously tried to get like an Indo-Caribbean cut thing in like three City Harmonic records, and no one would.
You're like, fine.
Yeah,
now's the time.
I'll do it later.
and yet it's still, you know, you've still got these tender moments at the piano. You've still got, you know, a lot of acoustic elements and it's very, very much, you know, still the voice that we've heard all along. Lyrically speaking, you know, you're talking a lot about like the title of these projects is The Work. Mm-hmm. And I love that you've exposed something I've heard for a long time. And I don't think a lot of people know is that liturgy means the work of the people. I love mm-hmm. that. And your heart for the church is mm-hmm. really what's coming out in a lot of ways. And at the really that was part of the DNA of the City Harmonic. Mm-hmm. It was, you know, near the end you're doing these unity nights where mm-hmm. you're trying to draw the church together. How does all of that, your love for the church, really play into this record?
Yeah. Well, and it's interesting. I mean, I think statistically, not to give anybody a guilt trip or anything, I mean, life is life, but you know, I hear like folks are attending church 1.6 or 1.8 times a month or something. And that's the regulars. Right. And so being involved in church, it's something that comes to our attention, certainly. And there's something interesting when we start to approach being human in a really pragmatic way or being a disciple of Jesus in a really pragmatic way. I mean, that's the Great Commission, right? To make disciples. It's not to make converts. It's not to make music consumers. It's not to win at Christian music. It's to be and make disciples of Jesus, which means people who live and walk in the footsteps of Jesus. And if that's the case, I think it's really important that we recognize who does the discipling. And the truth is, it's not us. And I think for the last couple of hundred years, we've bought into the idea that discipleship looks like learning new facts about God. Like somehow it's like outside of us, you know, there's some information, but
it's a scholastic experience. Yeah,
it's right. It's something like, so the only discipling in our imagination is when we're listening to sermons or reading a Bible study or that sort of thing. But that's actually pretty counter to what the church did for 2000 years. Yeah. And it's pretty counter to how brains work as well. Like doing a lot of reading on how people learn and how people retain information and form habits and that sort of thing. Like, so actual behavior change flows way more out of our habits and our practices and our desires than the things we know about the world. Everybody knows McDonald's is bad for them. People eat Big Macs. Like, it's not, you know, there's obviously some tension there. And I think people would say the same about faith. They know what they're supposed to do, but they don't do it, you know?
Yeah.
And they know kind of what good living is. They know how to follow Jesus. It's not that complicated. Sometimes it is, but on the whole, we have a good idea of what it looks like. And it's hard to do, including me, you know? When we live in a world that's like, you're only as good as your last thing. You're only as good as what you've accomplished or who you know or how cool you are or whatever. But at the end of the day, I think worship has this incredible power to essentially rewire our hearts and minds to desire Christ more and more. It's like going to the gym for the heart, you know? And so that whole experience, if you're singing these songs that are theologically deep and they're prayers and you're physically engaged and I can't think of something better for like, it's like insanity for the soul, you know? you've got 25 minutes of training in love, you know? And so for me, like,
and together, you know, together, with exactly. other people. Yeah.
Well, and that's exactly it. Like, I think worship is holistic. It's heart, soul, mind, and strength, and it's social. Yeah. We're social creatures, the most social creatures ever. And so there's really something to that group experience. That's not about getting information from a pastor or liking the song or, you know, how did I use this information? That doesn't even work. It's about forming habits of love and desire for Christ.
Man, I love that. And you've got a song on the record that's starting to get some cool traction called Enough. Mm-hmm. And you wrote that with a buddy from Passion City and mm-hmm. somebody else from
KXC
over the UK.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So yeah. And
Tom Eccleshall, he's over at KXC. I think the pastor at KXC is Pete Hughes, which is Tim Hughes' brother.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, so you've written that one, and it's this, you know, you talked about, we live in a world where you're only as good as the next thing mm-hmm. that you've done. And that this message of Enough really bounces off that. How did you guys come to this place of writing it? Where did the ideas sprout from?
Yeah. Well, like I mentioned, we're at a church here in Williamson County, which is, bizarrely, we're on the cusp between Williamson County and Antioch. So that's kind of where we live, which in Nashville, okay. If you're not from Nashville, that's the 10th richest county in the country and one of the poorest regions in Nashville. So they're
is that Brentwood? Is Brentwood Williamson?
Yeah, like just the edge of Brentwood. So we're okay. kind of like yeah. Antioch. It is right, pretty rough. Can be pretty rough. And then you've got Williamson, which is not rough at all. Nolensville is like the second highest per capita income in the state. So anyway, so lots of wealth, lots of success, lots of winning, if you will. Right.
Right.
And at the same time, Williamson County, and I'm not necessarily saying that, I mean, correlation isn't always causation, if ever, but right. I'm not necessarily sure. saying that the two are connected, but it got my attention that Williamson County is the super wealthy by every, you know, cursory definition of the American dream. Williamson County's done it.
Yeah.
And yet it has the second highest teen suicide rate in the state. So that really got my attention when we were working in the early days and talking to the youth pastor about that. And Olivia, who sings on the song, works on the youth at our church. And it was just like, man, like something about the message that we're telling our people, our kids, about what it means to win at life, what the good life is, what their expectations ought to be, how we ought to treat how we feel about whether we're succeeding or not, or how we're defining that, our worth, our value. It's broken, you know? And I mean, I know it's really encouraging to say, people will often say things like, I am enough, or it's one of those things that seems really empowering.
Yeah.
But it actually isn't. If you think about it, like you're actually, if you need to be saying it, you don't believe it.
Yeah.
And so something in that is like, human nature has always tried to reach beyond what we have. There's always this desire and want to break through that wall. And it's not unhealthy to say, actually, no, the beauty of grace is that I am not enough.
Yeah.
And I don't ever have to be. I don't have to prove anything to anybody because Jesus is enough. Jesus has already done the work of validating everything I am.
Yeah.
I don't need to believe it enough. I don't need to muster anything up. He's done it. You know, and so we were coming out of that first, Colossians 1:15-20, talking about that. Like, it's this whole section on the supremacy of Christ and this sense of like, it's almost like Job, actually, Job 38, where God's like, all right, that's real cute that you guys talk for a while. Let me smack you down a bit. And, you know, he's sort of saying like, hey, were you there? Did you count the stars?
Right.
Did you, I mean, it's Colossians 1 has that same kind of thing where it's like this incredible picture of who Jesus is. Really is, you know, and I just feel like, man, that's the person that says I'm worth something.
Yeah.
That's the person who on the cross and resurrection has said, you're in, come on. You know, what am I waiting for? You know, I mean, that kind of, so I don't need to tell myself I'm enough because I'm not. And that's great.
Yeah. Yeah. And I have all the access to what I need through Christ. And,
exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. Love that. And so the three of you just sat, were you all together? Did you just sit around
we got kick together these themes Nashville around? And, yeah, we got together in Nashville and some, you know, room here down in Franklin, I think. And we were talking about church. It was really where it started, talking about that. Yeah. And we just kind of had a couple of ideas batting around. And I think, you know, it's probably 3 or 4 hours later, I think at most, we came out with enough pretty much as it is.
I love it.
Yeah.
That's great. You know, I talked about those unity nights you had with the City Harmonic. Mm-hmm. The music's out now. And there's more to come because you called it Volume One. So
yeah,
obviously,
right. Eventually, you know, entry, yeah,
you've basically painted yourself into a corner here. You've got to release
it's
one
true.
More.
That's true.
What do you do with it now? You know, what is your vision? I mean, are you going to be touring? Are you going to be doing more unity type nights? What does it look like? Obviously, I would imagine it looks very different than.
Yeah.
Than what a standard tour or release would be.
Yeah. I mean, I still love playing events. I love leading worship. I love training worship leaders. I mean, right now, next month, I'm going up to hang out with a school in Canada to train their worship teams for a weekend and then lead with them and kind of lead them with some stuff. So a lot of that, of course, I love and continue to play conferences and events and churches. And for me, it just looks like doing less of it. I mean, I think that's really, you know, with City Harmonic, when we were at our busiest, it's not that we had no explicit goal of trying to win at Christian music or something, but it was like, there was a certain necessity to touring and what that looks like in order for us to live. And
financially,
And well, you know, on top of that, like vision too, we wanted to kind of give it our all, and being a band, you kind of had that one dynamic, and it's hard to, especially in the label system, it's not always that easy to figure out how to make other things work. So touring's really it. At this point, I love to tour. I love playing live. More importantly, I love leading worship. I mean, at that moment, I mean, there's been several songs that we released that were written in the spur of the moment at City Harmonic worship things. I mean, Brand New comes to mind. I wrote that at Resurrection on the fly. But yeah, I mean, stuff like that. I love that stuff. I really feel a lot, kind of alive, of course.
Would you say it's more like a one-off thing where people bring you, or is it like, I'm going on tour?
Yeah, I mean, I would tour, but I think, you know, I've got 5 kids. I've got a church. Yep. I've got stuff going on. So I have no problem against touring, but it would just be intentional. That's all.
Yeah.
I just kind of want to be thoughtful, I think, is really what I'm doing, and I'm happy. I'm not in any rush.
I love it. It's just freedom all around. Well, I've got some comments and questions from people. Dylan wants to know any upcoming collaborations.
Oh man. On this record, I co-wrote with a bunch of different friends. I'm sorting out now with a few friends to co-write and get things going. As to like whether other artists collaborations or not, I'd love that. I think that's rad. But I'm writing with friends all the time, so yes is the answer.
All right, and apparently Seth just wants City Harmonic together.
Oh.
Listen, Seth, they're still active. They're just active.
We're doing different things.
They're spread out. It's mitosis.
Yeah, and the thing is, like, it's funny too because we were sent in the first. I think that's one of the things, like.
Yeah,
you can be pragmatic and say, hey, we should keep making music just because we can and people will pay for it. But like, that seems like an awfully poor reason to do a thing. And we sort of decided, you know what, we would be better in ministry investing in those things separately right now. And so that we didn't, in fact, we had friends that you should call it a hiatus. You should do the like, go away and come back thing. Come back.
Yeah.
And we're like, no.
It's so hot right now.
Yeah, it's the cool thing. and we after talking about it, we're like, no, let's close the book. Let's just say and do that as friends and who believe in each other, and that's what we've done. And
a good place.
It feels pretty good.
Yep. More of that freedom. And then your fellow Canadian Christy says, we don't know each other, but saw you in St. Catharines in Hamilton, loving the new tunes.
Yes, awesome. Thank you. I miss home. I'll probably be home in the next month or so. So that's kind of cool. But
awesome. Well, we always want to make sure we use some of this time to find out what's next and how we can be praying for you and your family.
Yeah. I mean, what's next looks like sharing these songs and playing out and doing church stuff, which is always a bit crazy and all that. We've got, like I said, we've got 5 kids. Our oldest is 12, youngest is 3. So our house is a bit crazy. But yeah, just praying that we're able to keep a good balance through all that is the main thing. I mean, that we're able to keep the right things in front, you know?
Yeah, you bet. Well, you guys watch it now or later. Of course, you know, it works the same. We're going to pray for Eli while we've got him. Well, Lord, we just, man, we just thank you so much for Eli and for really the way that you have blessed him with many different passions. And not only that, but the means and energy and ability to see them carried out for your glory. Mm-hmm. We thank you for the work of the people, the things that have inspired him from your church. And Lord, let a love for the church take hold amongst people who know you, where the church can be an easy target. God, it's your bride, and we just pray that people would fall deeper in love with that. And Lord, we pray that as this music goes out, you give Eli the right opportunities to go and share and encourage and equip people, and that you would just help him in whatever environment he's in, be balanced, be present, and be intentional. And we thank you that you've done that so many ways so far, and you're only getting started. So we just thank you for that and pray your blessing over him and his five kids and his wife and everyone else that he interacts with, his whole team. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, thank you, my friend. It's called The Work, Volume 1, wherever you do the music thing, go do it there.
You know, go places.
The Work, Volume 1, Elias Dummer. And so there's, I would imagine that, you've drawn all these little things. You've got paintings of your oil paintings of yourself out there.
I did not do that, by the way. I'm not just like going out making self-portraits of myself.
That would be awkward.
Yeah. That was my aunt, actually, funny enough. I forgot. That was my aunt, the artist.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
So are there going to be more visuals or anything like that?
Oh, yeah. Always.
Looking forward here.
We're working on a music video for Enough right now, which was done live, like as a live worship thing. So that's going to be coming out soon. And I'm probably working. I love the idea of like writing out some of what the songs are about in like almost like a article or essay form. And I might compile them and
cool.
I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah. That's awesome. I love it. And EliasDummer.com. Is that the
website? Yes, sir. That'll do it.
There it is, EliasDummer.com, where you can find out about all the stuff that's going on, and there's a lot. So, yeah, man, bless you. Thank you.
Thanks, man.
And I'm excited to see how many volumes go.
I don't even know.
Man, I just want to encourage you, though. Like, the church is, like I said, just such an easy target sometimes for people, and it's good to have someone who really is looking at it, you know, the way God does, is obviously imperfect, but loved and important. So that's great, man.
Awesome.
So thank you. And thank you, we'll be blasting the tunes. Okay. It's awesome. The Work, Volume 1. God bless, man.
God bless you, man.
All right. Bye. All right. That's what we've got today. Hey, it's Valentine's Day Thursday. We're not going to be here because you're not going to be here. So we will have something a little bit special for you on the blog. If you are aware, there's now a blog like every weekday. So if you go to ccmmagazine.com/Marcus or just click that Live with Marcus tab, I'm posting thoughts every day. I did a listing of bands that need to get back together now. I also did a collection of incredible tours that are coming this spring that I wish came anywhere near Boise so I could go to them. It's just little list things of stuff that is fun to check out. So hopefully you go check it out and you will be back when we do our next interview. All right. Thanks for being here, you guys, and see you next time. Bye. Mm-hmm.